Okay, so with that said, right, let's run through some scenarios together. Yeah. And then maybe our listeners will have a clearer picture on how they can approach their situation and how CDREC can help, right? Okay, so scenario number one. How does CDREC approach a case whereby someone was sold a structured product by a financial institution, but subsequently suffered monetary losses from their investment? This person claims that they did not understand the features of the structured product. Can they seek compensation?
Now, I think this is a frequent complaint where an investor has put his money down and then, of course, suffers a loss. Of course, the upside is that when people make money, they don't pat the investor on the back and say, well done. I don't think that happens so often. But it's only when people lose money, then they are made to really face reality. So they do come to, when they do come to CDREC, our case managers will swing into action. And the first thing they look out for would be like documents. What documents were signed? What were the circumstances under which the product was sold? We like to need to know a little about the background of the claimant. Is he educated, literate, or totally illiterate and at the hands of the intermediary? So, or whether any of this has resulted in misrepresentation, misinformation, non-disclosure. We also check the SC guidelines, Bursa guidelines, Bursa rules, whether there's any shortcomings, yeah, or any, may not necessarily be some wrongdoing, but it could very well be some shortcoming along the way. The claim will then be referred to a mediator for mediation. Unfortunately, the claimant must understand they do not come to CDREC for compensation. CDREC does not pay out to any members, even if the case is a 100% proven case and they have lost due to the wrongdoings of a member, you can't get compensation from CDREC. The compensation will have to come eventually from the member. So it's only the process that we are talking about, whether it's the process of mediation, adjudication, or eventually, if everything else fails, litigation in court.
So let's say the member is proven to be guilty, right? I mean, the compensation doesn't come from CDREC, right? Does this mean that the member, your CDREC member, is compelled to give the compensation, or actually can they choose to still not give the compensation, and then thereby the complainant will bring this situation to the courts, and then maybe the CDREC's case or what they went through CDREC might be kind of a proof or something that will help the complainant seek proper compensation from the member. Is that is that how it works as well?
Yes, yes. Just to restate, the case managers do not make any decisions. Okay. Then when a matter goes before a mediator, again, a mediator does not make any decisions. This is the law on mediation. And in fact, we do have a Mediation Act. If not mistaken, I think it's 2010. So the rules and the provisions of mediation are all spelled out in the Act. So when a mediator mediates in a case like this, to be successful, the mediator has to get the parties together, sit down and see what is the grounds for complaint and see whether there can be a settlement through negotiations.
Let's talk about another scenario. An investor wants to lodge a claim against a capital market intermediary because it was forced sold shares they held in the share trading account they have with the intermediary. Can they seek compensation?
All right. So there will be various issues to be considered. Question is, if it is a fact, that fact has to be proven that the shares have actually been forced sold. Then the next question is, why? Why were they forced sold? Was it due to non-payment by the client? Was it a margin call situation? Or were there outstanding contra losses? So these are various grounds which will have to be considered. And then, again, as I said, the compensation will have to come. If there's some wrongdoing on the part of the member, compensation will have to come from the member.
Okay. Another situation, an investor who has very little financial understanding was not aware that the investment product they bought from an agent of a capital market intermediary was a high-risk product. The investor later lost the principal they've invested in the product. How can they deal with this? Can they even seek compensation?
Right. This is, again, a case that can happen quite frequently, and a situation where people rely heavily on the intermediary for information. And simply because the person, the investor may be illiterate or does not understand what is written in documents and so on. That's why the background of the client, the background of the investor is very important to see whether a person is literate or not. And in assessing reliability and credibility and so on, a lot will depend on what the remisier has said by way of information, whether it's oral, whether it's in writing, whether it was explained in a language that the investor can understand. So these are all very relevant considerations. And definitely, if the matter, let's say the matter is in court, these are the very issues which the court will seek to drill down to see whether or not it was a fair bargain, whether or not there was any misrepresentation arising from the lack of knowledge. But then on the other hand, everyone is deemed to have a fair bargain. It's at arm's length. And if there's no misrepresentation, no whether negligent or intentional misrepresentation, then of course the members, if they have discharged their duty to explain, they would seem to be in the clear. So ignorance is really not 100% ground to get compensation from a member.
Right. Okay. Lastly, a scenario for you. An investor has paid cash to their unit trust consultant to purchase a unit trust product, but sometime later they went to check on the investment at the office of the unit trust company. They found that the company did not have any record of the investments. What can they do about this?
This is where record keeping is very, very important, because if you have paid money over directly in cash to agents or to consultants without record, now that's a very, very silly thing to do. And I think the fault really will rely on the investor for being so... You just cannot trust everybody 100%. So our advice is that don't pay cash. Don't pay cash directly to agents or to consultants. Pay to the member company and then have record, so that when you come to CEDREC and say, hey, look, you know, I have paid $250,000 for this, that, and the other, and then we ask you, oh, please show proof that you have such made such a payment, then your bank records will be your best line of offense. We have a tagline in CEDREC, so that when members, or rather when claimants lose their money and they're all in a jam, our tagline is, stay cool, call CEDREC. We are here to help.
Okay, great, great. And that's all the time we have for Ringgit and Cents. I've been speaking to Dato' Ma Weng Kwai, Chairman for CEDREC. Join us again next week for more discussions on personal finance. I'm Sim Wee Boon from The Morning Run. We have the 10 a.m. news bulletin coming up next, followed by Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Ringgit and Cents on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, The Business Station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.